Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. And Joel, there's actually quite a bit to talk about for these markets in this shortened trading week to end the year. I first just want to start off with the U.S. equity markets. Markets had a pretty good day yesterday on the back of that whole stimulus bill being signed. And then even today, the markets started off in positive territory, but have been pretty consistently selling off. As we're recording this, the S&P and Dow are pretty much flat on the day, and the NASDAQ is just down a slight bit, about 26 points. But in terms of what you're seeing within these markets, a real theme of the recent past has been this rotation trade into, let's say, value. Joel, do you still see this happening within these markets, even as some of the momentum has slowed down to the upside?
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me, as always. I mean, you're talking to a value guy, right? So I'd like to see this rotation. Very clear rotation starting yesterday. And as you saw, some of your high-flying growth stocks, the Trade Desk, Roku, you know, some, you even throw Zoom in there. Some of those stocks came off, and they came off hard. On the other hand, you had Apple, which actually made a new all-time high today. Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google's a little bit in the red today, and Facebook is flat. So, you know, everyone says, you know, you complain that you only have five or six stocks leading you higher, but then when the market does go higher without those stocks, everybody's saying, well, we're the leaders. So clear rotation here into value. It's holding up. These growth stocks are taking a haircut. A stock like the Trade Desk, 136 in March, 973 last week. I mean, do you want to take profit somewhere? I mean, so that, yeah, that's it. So there's the rotation there. If overall market, I would say, you know, if I had to come up with a negative day out of the last 2 weeks, this might be it. We hit a pre-market level. One of my indicators I like to use is a breach of the pre-market highs and lows. The S&Ps tried early in the session, and then they gave way, and they've tested unchanged. So if you want to think a top is in, then, you know, maybe you can look at that high today in the S&P 500 futures as a possible turning point. But still in the midst of the Santa Claus rally.
Hey, Joel, doesn't it just seem like we're ending this year? And most likely, it seems like everybody has made money, no matter what sector they are in. So everybody is happy, confident. And maybe that plays into that whole psychology there, even as you were saying, when is it time to take profits? People have gotten, again, kind of complacent that these markets will always go up. So their money is always in the markets, just rotating around.
I hear this argument of, I don't want to sell because I don't want to have pay taxes. And I look at it, you know, well, if you sell and you have the money in your bank for the next year, will that be enough to supplement a higher tax bracket? So people are sitting on a lot of profits. If you're looking for losers in your portfolio, it's probably hard to find. I mean, just from a long term, and I always talk about this, and I always say, where are you at on your investing horizon? You know, and if you're, you know, elderly and you're, you know, relying on this money in the market, by all means, if you met your investment objectives, if you're a young buck like you and you still got a lot of times in your investing horizon, you don't need to worry about that. So I think you just got to look at where you're at. I mean, I am getting older, but I'm not quite close to, you know, towards retiring, or I don't know if I'll ever retire from this racket. I like it too much. Yeah, I mean, boy, oh boy. I mean, just a hell of a year. And what if you're a fund manager? And I've actually been saying this for a while, and I kind of got egg on my face. I thought after that first vaccine Monday, you know, back in November, when the S&Ps, I believe they sprinted to 3660, I kind of thought that, you know, that might be it for the year. Like locking in bonuses and being happy after being down 20 cents, being up 20%. We have rallied substantially from that level. So I think a lot has to do with the stimulus. But, you know, if you're at where you want to be, I mean, and, you know, the way your heart was sinking in March and April and where it is now, you know, sleep at night. You know, that's what you should do with your portfolio. Do what makes you help sleep at night the best, and that's what you should do.
So, Joel, you even mentioned the stimulus, right? And that is one thing that was on all traders' minds, still is, quite frankly, as the bill was signed, and then it seems like a vote is going into the Senate to increase the payments to $2,000 to individuals. Does the market need almost this ongoing hope of more stimulus, even after a current stimulus bill is signed, to just keep this kind of good times flowing and market trending higher?
Let the good times roll. See, I really feel two ways about this. If we have such a great economy and everything's so well, why the heck do we need a stimulus package? If everything's so good. And I mean, you're just getting back at the Fed, at, you know, the administration's doing whatever they can to support this market. And it's the Fed put. So, man, oh man, you're just pumping more and more money into this, you know, into people's pockets. And, you know, what's that? I don't know. Are they going to pay their rent with it? Or are they going to go on DraftKings and buy Bitcoin? So I'm really torn on this. I, you know, they could keep doing the stimulus, but man, if that's what's keeping us afloat, I mean, if the spigot ever runs dry, then I just, you know, it's good. I mean, I'm not seeing any of it. I don't know if you are. Well, obviously, Canada being different.
We're getting all kinds of different stuff, all kinds of different handouts there, Joel.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, well, they're moving through all kinds of different, essentially like unemployment type of payments, but they're also going to everybody. There's some pretty
crazy
stories. But
everyone's getting rich in the stock market, so what the hell do you need this stimulus for? So I, you know, I don't know what to tell you, Corey. I mean, it's great. I'm glad that people are getting it and it helps people get through. But, you know, can you just keep on doing it and keep on doing it? I don't know. That's the question. I'll leave that up to, like I like to call him, I made up this nickname on the show a couple weeks ago, Pumpin' Powell. He's just going to keep pumping this market. So that's how I feel. I don't know if that helps your listeners, investors at all, but that's just, you know, that's a two-edged sword, and you just got to play your cards close to the belt, what I always do.
Yeah, you know what? That is just the market, though. Pumpin' Powell does have everyone's back, and everybody seems pretty confident. But yeah, I don't know. I'm on the same page as you two, Joel, that they're giving out all this money when the economy looks okay. I know it's not great, but it still looks okay. Yes, some people need help that are unemployed, but boy, oh boy, all this money that's being dumped in, it's definitely supporting these markets. You even mentioned Bitcoin there. Let's talk about some of the other assets outside of just the broad averages. Bitcoin first, it's volatile, but boy, oh boy, it is screaming higher to the upside. Just how much can Bitcoin run here, Joel?
I don't know. Fundamentally, I mean, I think the whole world is going to be yeah, there you go. You had to break out. You had to clear breakout out of 20,000. So that grabbed the momentum traders into the issue. And then you had the Christmas break, you know, or, you know, the day off, you know, the Thursday. And boy, oh boy, the big boy, you know, they can pump that thing. They can run it. No futures around. So no natural, you know, hedging instrument. I still think it would have had to rally. But the Bitcoin bulls just ran amok and took it up to nearly 28,000. So it's a trend, and the trend is up, and there it's momentum. So where it, you know, is the whole world going to be transacting in Bitcoin? I don't think so. I think it's just come, you know, people are even calling it another asset class. But I'll tell you right now, did you see what they did with Ripple? They shut that thing down on Coinbase. Yeah.
Which
they
shut it down, right? That's a risk.
Yeah. So, yep. I don't know if that's going to happen with Bitcoin, but you know, you just, you know, a retreat back to the, you know, $20,000 level that was old resistance. It's where it broke out from. Sure doesn't act like it wants to go there right now, but just a strong uptrend.
Yeah, it really is. And sometimes, especially with these type of smaller markets, you get some momentum and boy, oh boy, can really take off. Joel, let's also talk about the balance between gold and silver here, because as much as the gold bugs wanted to say gold would scream higher at the signing of a stimulus bill, gold's been, for the most part, flat, fairly volatile. Silver has been performing decently, and that's been a trend over the last maybe month or two, is that silver has been outperforming gold. Now, obviously, silver's not just screaming higher and gold's dropping, but there is this general, it seems like, motivation towards silver over gold. Why do you think that's happening?
I think because there's maybe some more industrial uses, you know, for silver. You know, it goes into chips, other things of that nature. You know, I got a decent gold position in the GLD and the gold, and I hate it. You know, like I whenever I feel like I should sell it, I don't sell it, and then it goes down, and then when I'm just about ready to throw in the towel, it rallies. So it's difficult at 1800 basis where it's at, trading range trying to break out. I just don't know if it could get back to 2100. Silver, more volatile, you know, better performer as of late, but on a historical perspective, it's still really playing catch up to gold in the long term. So I'm in it. I don't love it. Kind of wish I was in Bitcoin, and I actually did think about switching out of gold into Bitcoin when Bitcoin was at the $16,000-$17,000 level. That would have been a good move. Now, I don't know if I can chase it $10,000 higher.
Yeah, I understand that, Joel. But you know what? Silver, you're right. It does have a lot of catch up, and it does have those industrial uses. How much, though, is the move in gold and silver also predicated on this continued weakness in the U.S. dollar?
Oh, man, I tell you, I looked at the dollar's lost half its purchasing power since 1991. And yeah, you're looking at your appreciation in your stock portfolio, but in real dollar terms, I don't know if it's quite as what it cracks up to be. Yeah, the dollar's just been in that downtrend, and it's just an old, you know, people are looking for safe havens. You hit a, back down the dollar going back to late 2018. So took out that March low in the dollar. Yeah, it's just it's an alternative asset class. It just seems like, you know, you just, when it's looking great and you think it's going up forever is when you got to sell it. And when it's looking horrible and just like you think it's going to 1500, then you got to buy it. So still in my long-term position, holding on to it. But it's a teaser. I guess that's it. I mean, if you're in it for a long time, it had to pull back from 2100 to 1800. Now you're working your way back up. I think, you know, building a little bit stronger base this time and not just shooting up there bodes a little bit better for the longtime bulls of the precious metals.
All right, Joel, pleasure chatting with you, buddy. Thanks again for taking some time on this shortened trading week. And again, not a shortness of topics to talk about. Joel, it's a pleasure having you on the show. I really appreciate all of the time you have spent with us. I hope you have a very happy new year, and I look forward to chatting with you in 2021.
All right. Thank you. I'll be where I'm always at home.